You're listening to The Takeout.
Welcome to your Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial. I'm Major Garrett, joined as always by the world's greatest podcast sidekick, Steve Shigaris. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Major.
And our guest for episode 12, and now the Takeout Outtake Especial from episode 12, Maya McGinnis, president of the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget. So this is the personal side of the Takeout where we step back a little bit from the politics and policy of Washington, D.C., and try to learn a little bit about our guests. So here's my dying-to-ask-you question, Maya. What's your all-time favorite budget movie?
That's not a real question,
there's
folks.
So many
That's
to
not
choose.
A real question.
I wish
question.
They would make a budget movie. It would be
such a blockbuster.
They could at least make the budget the theme of more of the good TV shows that are going on. I'm always waiting for deficit reduction to be the theme of one of the
right.
TV
you can weave that
shows.
Right into Homeland. You know,
yep.
Game of Thrones. You could do a Game of Thrones with budget implications for sure.
See, hopefully somebody's listening.
Veep
Who
could
will?
Work on it. Come on, Veep. Where are you? West Wing did.
Social Security.
West Wing actually in its early iterations.
Consultants
got
from the White House.
Yep. Yes, for sure.
And there was a time when all different Washington groups tried to get their issues into the different TV shows. But for some reason, people don't find deficit reduction quite as exciting as a lot of other topics.
Imagine that. Can you believe it?
Can I ask a question about film? You are born and raised and still live in the Washington, D.C. area, but you weren't raised in the city of Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. films, from a local perspective, what are your favorites? And what irks you about film and their coverage of Washington, D.C. as a city?
Oh, I think that most people have the same one. There's no subway stop in Georgetown.
There we go. No Way Out.
Right?
I knew she was going to bring that up.
No Way Out,
so
yes.
If you haven't seen the No Way Out, but yes. 1987.
Kevin Costner.
Running away
Gene
from
Hackman.
Whoever he was running away from.
Right.
And jumps on the subway in Georgetown where there is no subway stop.
And it's not even the metro system.
It's
Come
the
on,
Baltimore
folks.
Subway.
It's the Baltimore subway.
But then the flip side Hello. Of that, as a teenager, it also always bothered me, why isn't there a metro in Georgetown? How am I supposed to get there? I had to take
That's
the
another
30
podcast.
Bus.
Yes. No, that's okay. literally
That's
another
for
podcast.
Georgetown historians.
But if you haven't seen No Way Out, it is a really exciting
it's
movie.
It's a great movie. It's a really good
30
movie.
Years
it holds
later,
up. And if you were a reader of my columns at National Journal, and I know all of you were, who wasn't, for goodness sake, I did open one of them with a quote from No Way Out.
Oh, here we go.
I often use movies to get into my columns, but that's neither here nor
there.
What
is the quote?
I can't remember.
Oh.
You have to read the
it
column.
Was so good,
come
though.
On. Come on, dude. You have to read the column.
We'll dig it up.
In general, outside of D.C., now we were talking during the break while we were having lunch at the Dubliner restaurant, our host for episode 12, and of the episode 12, Takeout Outtake Especial. The Big Short is a great book about a hugely important topic and a damn interesting movie.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of these different policy topics, which are really dry when you're trying to follow them at the time, then become really good when journalists, or in that case, Michael Lewis, takes off and goes...
Storyteller, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Who's also a journalist.
Great storyteller, right. I sort of think all his books are told in ways that are really useful and good to understand. But you go and you have a journalist write the story, put some human faces on it, explain some of the themes in a way. That becomes really compelling. And then the movie, in that case... Fabulous movie. So it's an interesting thing to think about how you get dry topics, especially things on economics, that can be told in a way that personalizes them.
So what does a avowed budget specialist, some might describe you, I describe myself at times as a budget nerd, listen
you
to?
You are a budget nerd.
So is it a lot of Philip Glass, atonal music, you know, one note over and over and over, or that's not really fair.
It's not just a budget nerd.
Well,
Adrian.
I think
you're a nerd.
Straight up nerd.
But my music situation is so much like every parent's, which is I'm different with each kid. I've got two kids, one who is busy learning everything about the music from the 70s and 80s.
Excellent.
Doesn't go past there. Really
Otherwise
good.
Known as the canon.
I'd have to ask you about that.
And then there's the other one who listens to nothing in the 70s and the 80s and only the current stuff. So we listen to a lot more hip music, and she makes me watch videos with her.
Right.
So... Totally depends on what kids in the car.
What kids are in the car want to listen to and permit you to listen to. Right, right.
And sort of like eating. If one of them likes something, the other one doesn't. So if they're both in the car, it's just a lot of fighting.
But as every parent knows, eventually there's a time when they're both dropped off and you're driving home by yourself. Then what do you put on the radio or what do you listen to?
Oh, I think that this might be so typical of families, but I did this to punish the soccer carpool that I was driving. I said, if you guys don't quit fighting, you're going to listen to Hamilton. And then
Hamilton.
All three boys who are goalies loved Hamilton, and we have all been listening to it nonstop for 6 months. I'm still in my Hamilton phase.
This is most of America, by the way.
Yeah.
Your 13-year-old is listening to the 70s and 80s, is that what you said?
Yeah.
What are they listening to? Where are they getting their influences?
Now, what kind of 70s?
Yeah,
is that rock 70s,
talking disco,
disco 70s?
And pop in the 80s?
No,
are we talking
it's
about
Dire Straits.
Right.
Really?
We just decided
very
this
good
morning Dire Straits
R.E.M.
is the
and where
number
is
one
your son finding out about Dire Straits?
So not only did I give him some music information, his uncle for the holiday gave him a list of like the 50 all-time best songs or best groups. So
wow,
he's working his way through it.
Right. Dire Straits would be on
money
the list.
For Mark Nothing
Knopfler's
Dire Straits
right
or
nothing
earlier Dire Straits?
Doesn't matter. It's
wherever
all good.
Money for Nothing fits in.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit on the later end of the spectrum, but it's all very, very good. You
the
can't
video
go wrong with
the
Dire
memorable
Straits. And if there's a... we ask this question of our guests with some frequency, not all the time, but you're either on a long flight or you're going to be in a place where a really big, important book or a book you love and want to revisit is there and available to you, what would it be?
Oh, the answer's so sad. So first, if I'm on a flight, I'm going to watch every movie I can because
okay,
I feel like
right
I haven't watched a movie in ages.
Right.
But somebody once asked me my favorite book a while ago, and I still love it, and I'm about to bring it on vacation to reread it, Gucci Gulf.
Oh, right.
The book about tax reform.
The book about tax reform, written by Jeffrey Birnbaum.
Even more boring.
Working at the Wall Street Journal at the time.
I read that in Vacation in the Caribbean.
Right.
One time before, and I'm about to bring it to the Bahamas.
Wow. You really know how to live it up
really
on vacation,
book
huh?
It's a really good
wow
book.
And Dire Straits on the iPod, right?
I mean, it's a really good book in that it talks about all of the various interests, yes, that went into the frustrating aspects of tax reform and how that Gordian knot, essentially tied by lobbyists, was broken by Bob Packwood, who was at the time the Finance Committee Chairman of the Senate, who just
nerd
said, I'm going to do it myself, and we're going to break through all this. And
nerd.
Right. But I will tell you a book I just saw.
Not that I read the book or anything.
As I was just packing for our vacation, I saw a book that my husband had given me when we first started dating, which was by John Irving, A Widow for a Year. If you haven't read that, that's a great book. I might grab that one and bring
okay,
it,
good
too.
It wasn't Wealth of Nations. I thought it'd be like, no, you know, you're dating Adam Smith, you know, budget person.
It's a nerdy town, isn't it?
It's a very... Steve, any other questions for Maya?
Well, it is a nerdy town, but you know, can I just ask, as somebody who spent their entire life here, the changes that this town has gone through? You've seen some pretty amazing... I mean, you grew up under Marion Barry as your mayor, right? So, I don't know. Tell people who aren't aware locally about Washington, D.C., where this city is now to when it was when
yeah
you were growing up.
Well, I mean, first I was going to say it's always surprised me that I'm back in Washington, which I love the city, but I don't love politics. I was never interested in politics. I'm still not particularly interested in politics. But when I, for some reason, was working in Wall Street in New York and I discovered the budget deficit, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm really passionate about this issue. And so I found myself back here running a great group that's nonpartisan, so it's not as political. But the way D.C. has changed is so remarkable. And I guess there's two things that stand out. One, 14th Street. 14th Street was the line you did not go over because
well,
it was
well, 14th Street was known for a certain kind of business
yes,
about 20,
was
30 years ago.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yes.
And so 14th Street was not where you would
look it up if
tell
you know
your parents
about
you were going to go hang out. Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, it's terrific.
Gentrified and changed in so many ways.
And you'd be thrilled to live in. And there's so many neighborhoods where you'd be really excited to live. But the food scene. I mean, the food, I remember the special treat in my family growing up was going to the best restaurant we could find, Roy Rogers.
Really?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Roy Rogers.
No, there's nothing wrong with Roy Rogers. But when Lebanese Taverna first opened up in Woodley Park, that was huge. And now when I just think about trying to keep up of all the incredible restaurants that have opened up in this city, I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of everything about how the city feels with one exception, traffic. Mm. And so the good news is, your podcast, something to listen to while you're stuck on Connecticut Avenue driving to the office.
It makes every commute better, no matter where you live, no matter what your circumstances,
you
no
get
matter
out of the car
how long your commute. I guarantee you there will be no road rage if you bring the Takeout podcast into your life. It will make your commute infinitely better. All of your commuting dreams will be realized
if
you listen to the Takeout podcast.
I have
way
another observation about Washington, because now you got me thinking, but this city has money, and it did not. It used to be a middle-class city, and it has really changed the economics of Washington, how much wealth there is. And that's a big change. And I think that goes to some deeper issues that we are
ones
seeing
I encounter
in the election
talking
and other
to
places.
Trump supporters. They are not altogether happy about
no,
that. They're
I
like,
don't...
government has made that city wealthier than it ought to be.
I think that's
and
true.
And they're frustrated by that.
I think that's true. I think it's a sign that this city has kind of insulated from other from the business cycle and economic downturns, and how much money there is very frustrating to people.
One thing we are not insulated from in the Takeout podcast is curiosity. Curiosity about our guests, what they do, how Washington works, how it doesn't work, what politics and policy may create in this new Trump administration, this new environment brought by the 45th President of the United States, something we will be relentlessly curious about, and we hope entertaining for you in the process. I'm Major Garrett. This has been your Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial. Steve Shigaris, the political director of CBS News and the world's greatest podcast sidekick, thank you.
Thank you, Major.
And Maya McGinnis, president of the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, has been our guest for Episode 12 and the Takeout Outtake Especial. Thank you so much, Maya.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. We will see you next week.
The Takeout is produced by Arden Farhi, Nick Feynman, and CBS Radio News. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and visit takeoutpodcast.com for more information.
Okay. Yes, sir. Go ahead.